Before we start today's show, I need to tell you that Rachel Cruze's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, is available to pre-order today. It's included in a deal that we have put together with over $70 worth of free bonus items. Go to stewardship.com to pre-order today.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and this is the show where you get wealthy. I knew that would get you. We're going to be talking all about that today. And got your attention, didn't it? No, today we're going to be talking about, hey, is it okay to be wealthy? Is that even all right? And why? And what does it need to look like when we're wealthy? So that's kind of what our conversation is going to look like a little bit today. So make sure you stay tuned in. I want to let you know about a new resource, Rachel Cruze's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, available in special pre-order bundle at stewardship.com. And also at stewardship.com, we've partnered with our friends at Xander Insurance to announce the $55,000 Financial Literacy Challenge for high school students. Just have your high school student go to stewardship.com to fill out a brief money survey and a quiz for a chance to win scholarship money for up to $40,000. So make sure you check that out at stewardship.com. All right. Well, I told you we're going to be talking a little bit about wealth today, and hopefully that's going to be an encouragement to you. You may think that you're wealthy. You may not think you're wealthy, but just to level the playing field a little bit, those of you who are listening, and you make over $14,000 a year, you're in the top 11% of the world's wealth. So that kind of levels the playing field, doesn't it? And if you make over $30,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of the world's wealth. But in your eyes, I don't know what wealthy looks like, but regardless, we are called to generosity, whether you're wealthy or even if you're not. And so what does it mean to be called to generosity? And so this broadcast is going to be entitled Called to Generosity. You've learned that it's okay to build wealth. I kind of go ahead and tell you that right away. It is okay to build wealth. Obviously, we talk about it on this show all the time. Remember, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. We're just doing it for God's glory. The wealth that you build needs to make a difference in the world. That's the big key. We're not just building wealth for ourselves and so we can have a lot of toys. It's so we can make a difference in this world. Sure, you can have some fun with what you've accumulated, but if you're only living for yourself, then you've missed the point, like really badly. And God has placed you in a world filled with needs all around you, in your community, in your neighborhood, and he wants you to use his resources, okay, not yours, his resources to meet some of those needs. So that's, again, what we're going to be talking about a lot today. You know, when you think about giving, giving is a hallmark character quality of those who win with money. So those who win with money are more generous, and those who are generous end up being much more successful with money. It's amazing how that works out. Dave Ramsey is quoted as saying, "Giving is the antidote for selfishness." Isn't that true? Those times where you have the biggest bout with selfishness, I think if you were to look back, you'd realize in your checkbook it was the time where you were the least generous, not just with your resources, but with your time, with your energy, and with maybe your attention, but you're just kind of entrapped in selfishness. Psalm 84:11 says, "The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." How do you walk uprightly? Oh, a lot of ways. But one of those ways is generous giving. So I want to talk about some principles that go along with generous giving. And I think it's important for us to realize that the key to having an enduring legacy, we talk about that word quite a bit on this show, is to practice generous giving throughout your lifetime, not just in a season, not just a one-time thing, but throughout your life. And of course, it looks different during different stages of your life. Maybe as an elementary kid, maybe you're paying for somebody to be able to get a snack out of the snack machine. I know that's what my kids kind of do now. You're going to get those Sour Patch Kids, not just for them, but for their friends as well. And then you kind of get into middle school and high school, and it might be paying for somebody to go to the movies. Going to high school and college, and you kind of, maybe it's paying for a missions trip or paying for a summer camp. And then you kind of get in adulthood and you got young children, and it looks differently in that stage. And then you're a grandparent. And of course, it looks different in that stage. But throughout your lifetime, being a generous giver. Why? Well, we were made in the image of God. And I don't know if you've looked at God through this lens before, but God is the ultimate giver. Now, usually right here in a teaching like this, whoever is doing the teaching will point out an event where God was a huge, amazing giver, actually the ultimate gift ever, John 3:16, that God gave his one and only son. And whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's kind of like the verse that points to the fact that God is a giver. But man, he's given so much more than that. I mean, he doesn't have to give more than that. That obviously is the ultimate gift and the cornerstone of our faith and the reason for our belief system. But what does Scripture say about God's generosity in more than just one event? If we're going to learn from God's example, we can't just go out and give one time. No, generosity is an ethos, not an event. And so how many times has God proven his generous spirit to us? He is trying as hard as he can to give you every single blessing that he has, get it all to you without any of it dropping. That posture of like, please, please get it all, right? That trying as hard as you can. And we can be as blessed as much as we want to. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him. If we lack wisdom, God will give it to us. Look how he is going to give it. Generously, without finding fault. He is generous and enjoys giving to all his people. Have you ever thought about that? He's generous with his wisdom. In fact, Matthew 7 reminds us God's generosity is the basis for prayer. We have a Father in heaven who is more generous than any human father and loves to give to his kids. We see that in verse 11. In Psalm 145, 16, and 19, the psalmist uses the imagery of generous open hands. And Lamentations 3:22 says, his love and compassions are not fading. His resources are not drying up. In fact, they're new every morning. He offers great and never failing generosity. That's that posture I'm telling you about. It's pretty cool. 1 John 5:11. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, a gift that never ends, eternity. That's our God. We're made in his image. Crazy, right? But eternal life is more than quantity of life that goes on forever. It's also quality of life. You ever thought of it that way? The Bible describes it as a full and rich and abundant life. We see that in John 10:10. Then in 1 John 5:11 says, God has already given us eternal life. Eternal life is a quantity of life that goes on forever. The best possible life. Check this out. You've probably never thought of it this way. Eternal life is actually present life, a quality of life that starts now for the believer. Not when we die, but he wants us to be able to experience that now. John 3:1 through 8 reminds us that physical life starts when we're born physically, but eternal life starts when we're born spiritually. We have a very generous God, and we're made in his image. Now, giving is an expectation. I told you earlier that generosity is an ethos. It's not an event, but it is an expectation. It's an expectation for us. We've been blessed, and so we are to be a blessing. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:28, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may," here we go, "that he may have something to give him who has need." We are blessed to be a blessing. It's not a suggestion. Some folks would say, you know, it's just important that we have a generous spirit. And that's cute. That's really cute. But the bottom line is there needs to be actions with that generous spirit. That's how generosity works. I don't know of anyone who's had a legacy, who's talked about a legacy and said, you know what? They just had a generous spirit. You know, people with legacies, they actually did something. And so there's got to be some actions that go along with our generous spirit. You know, as we talk about leaving a legacy, I want to let you know about an incredible brand new resource. Now, many times when we make money decisions, it's based on comparison to others around us that ultimately leads to harm. And we hear about it in James 3:16, that for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. The danger of using our money to keep up with everyone else is the exact topic of Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. She shines a spotlight on this damaging money habit that we have, and then she unpacks six other healthy money habits for living the life that we really want without being buried under debt, being buried under stress and worry. If you're tired of comparing yourself to others, and you're ready to put that time and that energy into living the life that you want, this book will show you exactly how. Quit comparing and start living. At stewardship.com, this new book is available in a special pre-order bundle that includes over $70 worth of free bonus items, including the Smart Money, Smart Kids ebook, the Love Your Life, Not Theirs Smart Conference Talk video stream, the Love Your Life, Not Theirs digital audiobook, and the Love Your Life, Not Theirs ebook. All you got to do is go to stewardship.com and pre-order this incredible bundle for only $19.99. All right, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and today we're talking all about being called to generosity. Being called to generosity. Of course, that includes much more than just money, but we're talking about the principles of living a generous life. And again, they're not just about money, but they should include our time, our energy, our attention, of course, money also. Maybe it's our talents. And kind of when you look at your last, you know, couple days or your last couple weeks or months, how are you doing with that? You know, one of the things that I've done last week that I feel like was one of the most generous things I've done, but wouldn't show up on any kind of metric, you know, it's not going to show up in my checkbook and it's not going to show up really on my calendar a whole lot. But instead of just being home, instead of just talking to my daughter, my 7-year-old daughter, I decided I was going to get off the couch and I was going to sit on the ground and I was going to get in her world. And I was going to be interested in what she's interested in. Now, this made me play with a bunch of things that were pink. So don't tell anybody. It's our little secret. And I felt less than manly. But you know what? That was one of the most generous things I did all week. And it had nothing to do with money. It had to do with time and it had to do with attention. I was all in. I was all present. And in this world that we live in that's going so fast, I wonder how many times we're missing out on opportunities to be generous with our attention. You know what's cool is after I got done, I realized how fun it was. And I don't do it often enough. Giving is the most fun that you can have with your time, your energy, your attention, and your money. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And when you give, man, it makes you cheerful. It really does. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." If we delight in what he delights in, and that is being called to generosity, then he shall give us the desires of our heart. When he gives us the desires of our heart, guess what happens? That's when we start giving like a cheerful giver. And it's not so grudgingly, you know? Again, John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." That's what an abundant life looks like. Giving unlocks our full potential. You think about the life you live. Are you living to your full potential? You're living in your full potential when you are living a life as a called, generous person. Do you see the chain reaction here? And when we're giving, he trusts us with more. And when he trusts us with more, we give more. And so therefore, we're cheerful more, which means we're living a life that's more abundant more. And it goes on from there. Now, here's the chain reaction. The people who are giving are the least selfish people. So therefore, they're the most magnetic. They're the most attractive. They get the most opportunities. They get promoted. And guess what happens? When all those things happen, you can pay off your debt faster. So there's a lot of places in our budgets where we can cut without cutting giving, and especially not tithing. And of course, all of this generous giving that I'm talking about is not really tithing. This is all above and beyond the tithe. Tithing is obedience, and that's returning. We're talking about giving, which is beyond the tithe. We've talked about some principles, and now I want to tell you about some challenges, you know, that come along with it. And there are voices that are out there in the world, maybe you've heard them before, who believe that we should give away everything that we have. Do you have some people like that in your life? That it's like, just be as poor as possible for Jesus. Poverty for Jesus, right? And give it all away. Well, Psalm 128:2 has a serious problem with that. It says, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. There is a balance. Now, we can enjoy what our hands have created, okay? God's obviously given us the energy to do it, but he wants us to enjoy it as well. Billy Graham says, God has given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. We're not cisterns made for hoarding. We are channels made for sharing. And so, yes, we are going to be receiving. We're going to be enjoying some of it, but we're also going to be giving at the same time. But when you give it all real fast, then guess what? You give it all one time, and what you've done is you've killed the golden goose. What is the golden goose? The golden goose is what is creating this opportunity to be able to give in a scalable way for a long time. And so we've got to not only be giving, we've also got to be saving, we've also got to be investing so that we can be called to generosity for a long time. So unless God has directly called you to do it, giving everything away may simply, you may be simply just surrendering your role as a manager. And so we don't want to do that for sure. Now, let's take a look at some processes for generous giving. You know, extra giving that I talked about, not the tithe, but extra giving enters your plan once you reach baby step number three. But the tithe should be part of the plan all along. Whether you're tithing or whether you are giving above and beyond the tithe, I want to implore you, everyone listening in, perk up. Commit to due diligence with your giving. Don't just randomly give wherever just because you felt like it. Remember, we're managers. Your giving is an investment into the kingdom. That's the most important investment there is. And so if we're going to research what mutual funds and, you know, retirement plans are the best, then we need to be doing that with our giving as well. Due diligence. We are managers. Remember, you're the manager, not the owner. And when we do that, it changes everything. Giving is much more than just a deduction. It's much more than charitable giving on your tax forms. You are being a manager for the kingdom. So let your passions, let your values influence your giving, but you also want to look at organizations who are stewarding it well, channeling it well. You can't just randomly give. You're looking for impact. You're looking for, if stronger families is your passion, which I hope it is, you want to see some fruit out of that organization. Are they creating stronger families, Christ-centered community, discipleship, evangelism, whatever your strongest passions, are they good at evangelism? If your big thing is that everyone needs to get to heaven, you want to make sure that you're giving to organizations like that and that are doing it well. Always ask, is this a good use of God's resources or am I wasting God's resources? Huge question. One of the stats that I've been intrigued with recently that is probably my number one filter when it comes to giving, this above and beyond giving, and my tithe. This is a filter. Cost per salvation and cost per baptism. I want to know, what does it cost the church per salvation, per baptism? I'm heavy on the evangelism side. I value both. All three, actually, community, discipleship, and evangelism. But if it's costing, if I break down their budget and it's costing them $60,000 for every conversion, I've got a problem with that. If I look at their budget versus the amount of life change and it's $5,000 per conversion, that obviously is much better. That's a metric that I'm always looking at. You can have a lot of energy, but not effectiveness. And so that's one of the things I look for. You know, sowing and reaping, that's a huge factor with all of this. You think, well, I give enough, right? Just the wrong question. Sowing and reaping is a biblical principle for a lasting legacy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, 10 and 11 says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way." Luke 16:10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." So when you ask the question, how much do I have to give? I get that question. You guys call in with that question. You email in with that question. That's the wrong question. It's not how much do I have to give. It's how much do I get to give. It's a big difference. We are blessed to be a blessing. It's get to, not have to. And the thing is, when it comes to generosity, if you kind of like pull up a little bit to 30,000 feet, what's behind generosity? Gratefulness. When you're grateful for what you've got, it makes you want to give. When you're grateful for what you've got, it makes you want to give. You see, generosity is just gratitude in action. That's all it is. Generosity is the feat to gratitude. It's the action behind gratitude. Generosity is gratitude in action. Winston Churchill says it best. He says, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." I wonder if we were to take that quote and put that up against our life. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. How would we measure up with that saying? So I don't normally do this, but I'm going to give you all a little bit of homework. I want to ask you some questions. And if you're on the podcast, you can push that 15-second rewind button and you'll be able to hear these again. But if you're on the radio right now, that just kind of tells you you need to go over to stewardship.com or you need to go over to the podcast and check it out there as well. But here's question number one. What are some big things that God has given you? That's a great place to start. As you cultivate this spirit of thankfulness, what are some big things that God has given you? Let's start with the big things. Question number two, how do those gifts affect your life each day? Okay, it's not only a gift, but then it affects your quality of life. So what are those things? And question number three, how are you using those resources for God's glory? I'm kind of getting up in your grill, aren't I? I'm getting up in my own. How are you using those resources for God's glory? And question number four, what are future generations learning from your generosity? Ouch. In other words, how are you modeling this? And listen, there's no condemnation here. Listen, we're all on a journey, but the whole goal is progress. Okay? Hashtag progress. The goal is not perfection. The goal is progress. Are you getting better every day? Are you getting closer to living a Jesus-filled life every single day? Question number five, why is it important to make sure that your legacy outlives you? Why is that even important? I think it's important that we start with the why and we end with the why. We got to ask ourselves, why is all this important? You just got done listening to this guy in Nashville talk for 30 minutes about generosity. Why in the world is it even important? We are all called to generosity. And no matter where you're at in your journey, I want to encourage you, and it really means encourage, but with a little bit of challenge there, and myself, to wherever we're at in this generosity, that we go to the next level, that we challenge ourselves when it comes to this generosity, because it's very, very important. And today we looked at a lot of verses, a lot of scripture that point to the fact that we're made in God's image and that generosity is more than an event. It's an ethos and it's an expectation. I realize these questions are quite a challenge. If you need help working through these questions, you can head to stewardship.com and read the article, "Are You Answering the Call to Generosity?" Our team has put that up there for you. Again, "Are You Answering the Call to Generosity?" Again, right there, front and center at stewardship.com. I want to remind you that you can pre-order Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, today at stewardship.com for only $19.99 and receive over $70 worth of bonus items for free. God, we come to you right now as a true stewardship community, and we ask that you would help us in this, that we would decrease and that you would increase. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all.